Mark's Gospel, back to the Gospel of Mark again this morning, chapter 6. We pick up this morning in verse 30. Some of you may have looked around and seen a familiar face. Craig Schwartz, one of your former pastors, is with us this morning. If I had only known, Craig, you probably got some words about Mark 6 you could share with us. We're delighted that you're with us. I know for those to whom you ministered when you were here, your face is sweet indeed. Thank you for being with us this morning very much. Mark chapter 6. This is God's Word. First, let me ask you, a little quiz before we read the text. A little quiz. Who do you think said this, and what was he talking about? All right, that's the quiz. Who said it? What was he talking about? I'm quoting. This is rat eat rat. Dog eat dog. I'll kill them. And I'm going to kill them before they kill me. You're talking about the American way of the survival of the fittest, end quote. What would he be talking about? Anybody recognize the quote? Anybody ever eat a Happy Meal? That was Ray Kroc, founder of McDonald's, when he was being interviewed about the fast food industry. Happy Meal indeed. Rat eat rat. Last time in Mark, we left off at a rat eat saint meal. If you'll remember, it was that grotesque, that horrid banquet at Herod Antipas's palace where the head of John the Baptist was brought. This morning, we look at another meal. This time, we go to from a murderous feast to a feast of mercy, this delight in the fields, a merciful feast in the fields. Let's ask God, who has, through all His providences, brought us into this room, that we could feast on Him, to feed us this morning. I'm going to pray that if you're not hungry, that you will get hungry before the morning is over. And if you are hungry, that you'll be so ready for Christ that when the feast is, the word is given you and the feast at the table is offered you, you will, as it were, come running. Let's pray. So that's what we ask, Father. I ask it for myself. I ask it for those gathered around you this morning, around Jesus this morning, that we are those as those who would come into the fields to be fed by you. And so, would you please make us hungry and give us Jesus? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 6, starting in verse 30, reading down through the end of the chapter. Again, this is God's Word, so you hear it. The apostles returned to Jesus and told Him all that they had done and taught. And He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When He went ashore, He saw a great crowd, and He had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And He began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, His disciples came to Him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But He answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to Him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And He said to them, "Well, how many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. And He commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, He looked up to heaven and said a blessing, and broke the loaves and gave it to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the two fish among them. They all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. And they then crossed over and came to land at Gennesaret and moored to the shore. And when they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized him and ran about the whole region and began to bring the sick people on their beds wherever they heard he was. And wherever he came, in villages, cities, or countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and implored him that they might touch even the fringe of his garment, and as many as touched it were made well. God, by his Spirit, does bless his word to his people. So the disciples, here we're going to do. What they saw, what we see, what we understand, and what we do. All right, this is kind of three things. We're going to see what they saw and what they thought or what we think, and then what we do. So the apostles, if you'll remember, that explanation of that murderous feast that we got, that Mark gave us about John the Baptist, was all kind of in a sandwich. Remember, Jesus sent the disciples out, sent them out on mission two by two, said, you know, don't take an extra cloak, don't take any money, don't take bread, a pair of sandals is fine. And they went out, and then we got that little parenthesis of what it's like to be one of those that Jesus sends somewhere. And we got the picture of John the Baptist and his death. And then we're told, and they came back. And so that's where we pick up now. They've come back, they're exhilarated, no doubt. God's been using them. Jesus sent them out. They've got the power to cast out demons, to heal, and of course they're preaching. And they come back and they've got to be worn out. They're exhilarated, yes, but exhausted. And so Jesus, he starts out, if he's going to pastor the flock of God, he starts out with the friends closest to him. He says, "You need a rest. You need a break. Let's take a rest." He said, "What we're going to do is go to a quiet place." The text, it's English. The English translations struggle with this. It calls it a desolate place. Some of the old ones call it a desert. It's not a desert. It's deserted. He went to go to some place that was deserted in the best sense of the word, if you understand. It was a retreat. It wasn't a desert. Later on, we get some grass. You'll remember as we read the text. But it was supposed to be a quiet place. And so they go to this quiet place, supposedly, perfect. As they get there, what's happened? Well, it didn't work out, did it? Well, we don't know exactly what was going on. People seem to be watching Jesus. So they get there, and there's a flash mob already there. And how they did this without smartphones, we don't know. But the word got around, and they had been watching, and before they ran around the lake, ran around the sea, and as they went, they gathered people up to get there with him, and they get there. These people were intentional. Some of the commentators even suggest that this was a sort of group kind of coming together, even as an army, that they had their logistics down, didn't they? That they got there, and then later on, we're going to find they're going to be divided into 50s and the hundreds. There's this, there's that picture. They've mobilized almost. Almost like an army. So Jesus is, the retreat plans are ruined. Ever had a ruined vacation? Ever, you know, you show up somewhere and not going to name names, but people were there that you weren't expecting. You know, or you come home from a long thing and everybody's at your house, and well, they've gone and they've meant to get there. And so Jesus, what do you do when that happens? That one possibility is just exasperation. You know, like enough is enough. You know, back in the boat, we're going up to the next beach. But what Jesus does, he gets out of the boat and his exhaustion, rather than becoming a cause for, exasperation, it becomes a point of contact. He's tired. His disciples are tired. But rather than that becoming a reason to distance himself from people, he says, "Oh, I know how they feel. I've been there. In fact, I was there 10 seconds ago. I know what it's like to feel that I've got nothing left to give." And so he looks out on them, and his weakness becomes the point of contact. And by the way, that can be at work in us. If you have the Spirit of Jesus if we have the Spirit of Jesus in us, it may be that our best gift is our weakness. I love the T-shirts that Dave and the youth prepared. Be weak, that they used on one of their outings some while back. Well, Jesus was weak. His disciples were weak, and it became they really became their opportunity, their point of contact. So what does Jesus do? He says he had compassion on them. They were like sheep without a shepherd. What do you do? What did Jesus do when he saw a group of people and they were like sheep without a shepherd and they needed something? What did he perceive that they needed? Sheep without a shepherd is an Old Testament phrase. If you look back, you can Google it up. Just, pull your Bible program out and Google. Not now, but because you'll end up looking and seeing what the second half statistics were or something. So don't pull at you. But later on, go look, and you'll see that over and over again, the people that God encountered, he saw them as they were sheep without a shepherd. And it's kind of a metaphor. When he met them as a shepherd, it really wasn't food that they needed. The picture is that the sheep need feeding, but it wasn't just pasture, that is, grass to eat. They needed something in particular. Ezekiel, I'm going to read just a portion from Ezekiel 34. You can jot that down and look at it a little later. The prophet says, "The weak you have not strengthened of these false shepherds. The sick you have not healed. The injured you have not bound up. The strayed you have not brought back. The lost you have not sought. With force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts." Isn't that interesting? The prophet speaking for God, he doesn't say that nobody was telling them what to do. You see, he doesn't say that they had no shepherd to take them where the shepherds wanted them to go. He didn't say that. What he said was, "Listen, you saw them weak, you saw them hurting, you saw they'd strayed. Know any of these? Been any of these? Maybe are one of these? And you said you didn't bring them back. You didn't bind them up. You didn't seek them. Rather, what you did with force and harshness you have ruled them." So what they needed was to be bandaged and brought back. And so when Jesus is doing that, when Jesus then takes the role of the shepherd and he's going to go do these things that the false shepherd hasn't done, what is it that he does? Look at the text. What is it that he does? He began to teach them many things. See, what they needed wasn't just food. It wasn't just protection. What they needed was truth. What they needed was someone to shepherd them back into reality. And the Mark doesn't give a lot of details in his gospel. It's kind of the immediately, you know, next thing next is the narrative gospel. Doesn't give us, but over and over again, he refers to Jesus' teaching. He doesn't give a lot. We looked at some of the passages earlier where he does give us the details. But what we know about what Jesus taught them is what he taught them was he basically, what he gave them was himself. Everything Jesus did was to say, it's just, here I am. And so when he saw a sheep without a shepherd, he was saying, listen, there's a kingdom, and if you want to know what the kingdom is like, it looks like this. It looks like what you see in me. So if you want to come to the kingdom, come to me. So what they needed, this is real simple. This is the Sunday school answer. What they needed was Jesus. You got somebody who strayed, or you're straying, or somebody who just needs binding up. He's wounded. Maybe you. You don't need more force and harshness. What you need is a new kind of kingdom. So the Jesus, it says, now verse 35. So Jesus is feeding them. He's giving them himself. He's giving them the kingdom. He's saying, this is, come to me. This is where life is. And he's doing that, and the disciples, this is a great conversation. Disciples apparently had a team meeting on the side, and they come back to Jesus and say, Jesus, it's getting late. And just like you promised, this is a desolate place. I mean, there's people in it, but there's not a McDonald's drive through anywhere. He said, we got to send these people to you got to get them out of here. This is not going to be a good scene. We got 5,000 men. We don't know how many all together. 15,000. We don't know, but there's a lot of people here, and you don't want these people on your hands hungry. So let's take a break. Call it a day. Take a break, and let them go get something to eat. And that's a rather reasonable assertion, wouldn't you think? They make a reasonable suggestion, and he gives an absurd commandment. Do you see it? He said, you give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. You kind of get the picture, you know, the parable of the friend at midnight who shows up, and somebody knocks on your door in the middle of the night, and you look in the cabinet, and there's nothing to eat in there. It's like, and that's kind of the position they're in right now. It's like, you're asking us to give him something to eat? Remember, they've just come back. Remember, they've just come back on a 2x2 mission trip when they were told to take no food and take no money. I don't know if they stopped by the teller on the way back or not or whatever. But they've got, apparently, you'd think the picture is immediately. They haven't gone back. This was the refreshment trip that didn't happen. So they probably don't have 200 denarii. I mean, he told them not to take any money with them. And so they're back together. And so it's probably, there's irony in their voices. I don't think they're saying, well, we got this 200 denarii. What do you want us to go? That's, by the way, if the scholar historians are right, a denarii was about a laborer's daily wage. If you worked all day, you got a denarii. And so 200 would be, you know, 200 days daily wages. It's a good bit of money. We don't have that on us. But they ask him, they say, even if they did, he says, are you really? Are you kidding? Are you going to send us out to do that? And so Jesus says, sit down. It says, just tell him to sit down. They've got no idea what he's going to do. The disciples, he has not yet given them a plan, has he? He just says, all right. So they gather, and once again, you get this kind of military picture, 50s and 100s. It looks a lot like Israel in their wilderness being kind of, you get the picture of, here's a new Israel, okay? I think that's the one that Mark is giving us, that Jesus is giving us. He said, he's been preaching the gospel. He's been giving himself to them as a new king. And now he says, all right, we're going to do this. Here we go. Let's do Israel. Let's do Israel. 50s, 100s. So he gathers them out. He spreads them out. And he took the, you know the story. He took the bread. He took the fish. And then he says, these are really fascinating words. He says, look at it. I think it's verse 34, 35. No, look with me. 41. Look at 41. And taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven, said a blessing, and broke it, and he gave it to the disciples. Mark quotes those very same verbs later in the book, chapter 14, is it? Jesus, with his disciples at the supper, he takes bread, gives thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples. Same verb, same order. Now, this is not a Last Supper, but it's clearly pointing to the same ultimate feast that you and I and all who are in Jesus are going to go to on the last day. It's obvious he's pointing that he said, I'm the bread of life. And so now he's got new Israel gathered, and he breaks them, he gives them the food. Listen, that's where God brings food. He brings food in the wilderness. That's where he feeds you. You're in your wilderness. That's where he meets you. That's where he is. The psalmist says, when anxious thoughts come upon me, thy consolations delight my soul. That's where he will come, and he will meet you. He's always taking his people into the wilderness to get to know him. See, if you're in the wilderness now, that's where he is. That's where the Jesus is. That's where the food is. And again, these familiar words, we know them well. You see, he's out there. He's got them in a quiet place. Green grass. The Lord is my shepherd. You see what he's saying? If the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside the still. He leads me in the green pastures. What Jesus is demonstrating to us, to them there, and to us now, is that he's that Lord that's our shepherd. All the way through Mark, Jesus is saying, you're looking for the Lord God Almighty. Here I am, and here he is. He leads me. He restores my soul. And they ate, and we're told they were satisfied. So here's what's going on. Every gospel has this miracle in it, by the way. This is the one that's in all of them. And so here we are, and Jesus sees, here's this throng, this army of people. And Jesus gets his disciples, and he hustles them off in a boat. What's the deal here? What do you think? John tells us in his gospel that they wanted to make him king. If you look over in John chapter 6 later on. And so what Jesus sees, this army's gathered. These people do logistics very well. They got around the lake. They get the people together. They're all there. They get down into 50s and 100s. They know how to do this. And the threat is that not the kingdom that Jesus had in mind, but the kingdom that some of these might have had in mind. So Jesus, he said, the last thing I need is for my disciples to get this idea. They were already kind of pushing him in that direction, you know. He said, I got to get them out of here before they get the feeling this could happen. And so he gets in the boat, gets them out of there. He dismisses the crowd. That must have been somewhat supernatural. He got that crowd out of there. And then he goes, who does he need to be with? Abba, Father. And so he goes up on the mountain to pray. So boats in the water. Crowds got boats in the water, Jesus in prayer, and it comes to him either directly or supernaturally that the disciples now are struggling against the wind. And now we come, this is great. Look what happens here. This is two remarkable statements in this little section on them in the boat. It says, he meant to pass them by. What in the world does that mean? What do you think that meant? They're out there. He knows that they're struggling against the wind. And you read in the text, it says, he meant to pass them by. What could that mean? Did it mean that he meant to just leave them out there? It can't mean that, can it? It can't mean that his intention was just to leave them out there. He wasn't, in other words, earlier in the, there in the text, it says he came to them. Mark already said in the text, when they were out in the water, he came to them. So it can't mean he came to them. No, he meant to pass them by. So whatever it means, it doesn't mean he was avoiding them, okay? So what does it mean? What does it mean? Could be that Mark is telling this from Peter's perspective. Remember, this is kind of Peter's gospel through Mark, if you will, in a sense. And what it looked like to the disciples is that he was passing by them. You know, passing on the left. There he goes. He was, it may be that. It may just be an idiom, just a way of saying things. We might say it this way. They looked up, and he was fixing to go by them. You know, he's about to go past them. I think that's part of what it means. But you know, it means more than that. It means more than that. There's a passing by is a freighted expression when God's dealing with the people. God passes by them. What is he doing? Does it ring a bell with you? Passes by. You remember when God was encountering Moses? Moses said, I'm reading the text. Some of you could probably just quote it to me. Moses says, please show me your glory. And God says, I will make all my goodness pass before you. And I'll proclaim to you my name, the Lord. That is, I am. So I'm going to do that. And just a few verses later in Exodus, we're told that it happened. And I am, the Lord, passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, that is that I am with you name. I am with you, I am with you, that's his name. A God merciful and gracious and slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. So that happened in Exodus, that there's a God who does, he passes by, but you're not going to get to see him face to face. Job, in the midst of his worst suffering, you want to talk about somebody in a deserted place. Job, in his worst suffering, back in early in the book, chapter 8, he says this, behold, of God, he says, he passes by me and I see him not. Have you not been there? Don't you have some friends who are there right now? He passes by me and I see him not. He moves on. And I do not perceive him, says Job. Up to now, you see, Israel has not gotten to see him face to face. And now, here in Mark chapter 6, the Lord God in Jesus, he passes by. And he doesn't just pass by. He gets in. He gets all the way in the boat. Listen, check this out later on as well in your Bible program. Nobody walks on water but God. The Old Testament word is often tread. So if you're looking for a clue, you know, Google up tread. But if you look, several places in the Old Testament, if you want to see somebody treading on the water, treading on the way, it's always God. And so now, here's God. And he doesn't just pass by where you don't see his face. He comes all the way to him, face to face, and gets in the boat. You see, things have changed, New Israel. Things have changed. He doesn't just pass by anymore. You don't get to see his glory from afar or his backside. You get to look him in the eye. You get to see Jesus. And if that's not enough, when they look up and they see him, and they don't think, what in the world is this? Jesus' response to them is, I am. Your text says it is I. That's smoother English. But the original language says the same thing Jesus says every other time he does one of those I am. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the way, truth, and life. I am. He's saying, before Abraham was, remember, he says, I am. He's saying, where did I write it down here? The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. That's who he is. That's who gets in the boat. That's who gets in. That's who's here, is the one who is I am. He gets in the boat. And it says, here's, these are daunting words. It says to the disciples, they were astounded. Verse 51, 52. It says they didn't understand about the loaves. See, this whole thing, the boat trip is all about the loaves. That's why we're giving it to you all in one time. It's not a separate story. The boat trip is all about the loaves. He said they didn't understand about the loaves. And then these horrible words. They didn't know why they didn't understand about the loaves. Look what it says. Their hearts were hardened. You know who else? There's in the gospel, the other people whose hearts are hardened, it's the Pharisees. Plenty of truth. They had plenty of stuff, but their hearts were hardened. Those are threatening words. You go back and read those and you say, they didn't understand about the loaves. See, they didn't understand about the mercy. They didn't understand who this God was, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. They were starting to be like the ones who had ruled in harshness. Remember the Ezekiel passage we looked at? It said, you just gave them hard stuff. Listen, we can turn into that in a minute. If we don't see the loaves, if we don't see that this is the way God has met us, and a Jesus who's like this, so what do you do? What do you see? Okay, you got it? What did you see? What did you understand? And now what do you do? Well, they crossed over. They came to Gennesaret, moored there. And the people are, and here they recognize him again. And the people who recognize him, listen, they didn't know much. It says they came. This is great. It says, they began to bring the sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was. Yeah. That's where they went. Wherever they heard he was, they went. Won't you? That'd be a great name for a church, wouldn't it? Yeah, we want to be wherever he was, wherever he is, they went. Wherever he was, they went. And they didn't know much. Listen, the disciples had been around him for all this time. They'd seen him do miracles. They'd seen him, some of them have even seen him raise the dead. He'd given them power, and they'd gone out of his power. They'd seen a lot. But these people that came, they didn't know anything, except they knew they needed Jesus. They knew they needed whatever, wherever he was, they were going to be in. Whatever it was he had, they wanted. That's all there is, isn't it? And that's all you've got. That's all you need, all I need, and all you need to give anybody is to take them wherever it is he is. That's where they go. Listen, you got friends and family. You got people you meet every day who are as hungry as the people in that deserted place. And they are broken and they are wounded. And we are just like them. And we sang it a minute ago. I'm just going to close and read it again. Well of water, ever springing, bread of life, so rich and free, untold wealth that never faileth, my Redeemer is to me. Hallelujah! He has found me, the one my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies all my longings. Through his blood, I now am saved. Let's pray. Father, we ask that what we've seen, don't let us become hard. Don't let us become hard. That what we'd seen would make us like the one we've seen. And that even in our own brokenness and our own weakness, we, having found bread, would invite others to the bread. We ask you now as we come to this table to feed us on this same Jesus. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The elders would meet me at this good table.